You got your Bibles?
Let me see. Hold them up. Shake them around.
Father, we thank you for who you are. We acknowledge you in this place. You're the answer to every need we have. You're the only source of love and peace. You're the only source, Lord, of purpose. You're the one that has every piece to the puzzle. We need you. Speak to us today, Lord, as we learn who you are and learn your ways. I pray this word is going to go forth mixed with faith in our hearts. Holy Spirit, tailor it to every life. Anoint me and anoint our ears to receive it, and you be glorified in this house. In Jesus' name, amen. I've been sharing this series called The Warrior of God or Warfare of God, and part one, I talked about how God is calling forth a bride, planning for a wedding. And that before the foundation of the world, God loved you and had a plan. Not just to save you individually, but to bring you into oneness with the Father and to bring you into oneness with His bride, that we become the body of Christ. And that everything that's happened in history is toward one purpose from God's perspective. Everything. That He's using everything. You know, the Lord's in charge of nations. They rise and fall by His hand. There's no one that's in power today except that God didn't place them there and He's going to use it for His purpose. I don't care how negative it looks. God's going to bring good out of it. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Is that right? And He'll put them up, pull them down. I don't care who it is. God rules over nations in every circumstance. And that everything that's happening is toward that one goal to bring forth His bride. And that we know that because we see the end of the book. We see it all concludes with His bride, with Him, in the heavenlies, as we rule and reign with Him. Fear not, little flock. It's God's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so the Lord is preparing us as His bride. And everything that's happening now is in preparation for that. And the prayer, I said, is not primarily a way of God getting things done. I mean, He could just do it Himself. He wouldn't even need prayer. But it's on the job training for us. It says, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Last week I talked about training for reigning a little more. As we talked about how God made Himself dependent on man. How did that happen? He didn't have to. It was just part of His plan. It was part of that preparation. And so the Scriptures support this. You know, in Ezekiel I shared with you where God said, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. And so He had to bring His judgment. It was judgment He didn't want to bring. Judgment that was deserved. But He didn't want to do it. He was just looking for someone that would intercede and stand in the gap. But He couldn't find anybody that was willing to do it. That God became dependent on what man would do in prayer, that would determine what God did. That's why He says, you have not because you ask not. He would give it if we'd ask, but when we don't ask, then God has to wait. And that we see that in other Scriptures as well. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. If, there's an if. He told us to pray to the Lord of harvest, to thrust forth laborers. He can't do it until we pray. He can't save people until we intercede. God says, therefore I exhort first of all the supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men that they might come to know the Lord. If we don't pray, nothing happens. I promise you somebody prayed for you if you're a born-again Christian. Somebody was praying for you somewhere. You may not even know who it was, but I promise you someone was or you wouldn't even be here. John Wesley said, God does nothing except to answer to prayer. So, there's so many Scriptures that tell us. God talks about the importance of prayer. Men ought always pray and not faint. Praying always with all prayer. Continue in prayer. And all things by prayer and supplication. Pray day and night. Pray without ceasing. And I could go on. There are many more. So God has told us to pray. It's one thing that we talk about, but you know, we really don't do. But we need to know God's given us authority. And that He's given us those keys, and that's not an empty promise. And that as God's given us the keys of the kingdom of heaven, what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Here on earth, what we do here on earth. What we do here causes things to happen in the heavenlies. Think about that. What we loose here on earth is loosed in the heavenlies. And that God is not going to break in and do something different because He's not going to jeopardize His program, His training program. This is the way that we come to know Him and trust Him and stand in faith as He prepares us to rule and reign with Him. So God's teaching us. We're just such slow learners. So what happens? We forget all about prayer until we fall into a hole. Help, God, I'm in this hole. I don't know what happened. How can you be so mean? I tried to tell you it was there. You weren't asking me. I knew it was there. I would have told you if you had just asked me this morning. I said go right instead of going left. You know, if you'll seek God, He'll direct your path. Hello. How many believe He's got the plan and knows where He wants you to go? When, what, how, why? He's got it all under control. But we're not going to make it without putting our dependence on God. He's trying to teach us. You know, self-sufficiency isn't going to get it. I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. Yeah, right. And then fell right in the mud. You know, it's only God alone. Today, I want to talk about our positional authority as members of Christ's body. And it's kind of a long title, but I just wanted to remember what I talked about today. Our positional authority as members of Christ's body. He wants us to understand that. First thing, I want to talk about our spiritual enemy. There's a real devil. He's not some cartoon character with a red suit and a long tail with a little point on the end of it and a pitchfork in his hand. He's a real being. He's a spiritual being. And that, matter of fact, the Bible tells us that he's not ugly, but he's beautiful. He's ugly inside. That's what makes him ugly. But the Bible tells us that he was full of wisdom and perfect in beauty in Ezekiel chapter 28. You can read it later. One thing we forget is he was created. He's not up there close to God like he would make us think. He's a created being. And God's in charge of all things. It says he created him, but at one point he was the anointed cherub that covers. It says he was perfect in your ways until when you were created, until iniquity was found in you. It says because of your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you've corrupted your wisdom by reason of that of your brightness, pride. And he was cast down. He lost his position, lost his authority. So he carries on now this underground warfare, so to speak, you know, and tries to lie to us and bluff and deceive us. But he's defeated. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the strategies of the devil. For we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But the real warfare is not what we're seeing with our eyes. The effect of things happening in the heavenlies are what are happening. It's what's happening here. The real war is happening in the heavenlies. You know, if you want to see more about that, you can turn to the book of Daniel and you can see there was a war that was taking place in the heavenlies in chapter 10. Daniel fasted for 21 days. The captivity was coming to an end. It had been prophesied in Jeremiah, the 70 years, and he was praying and interceding as God was getting ready to move as the Medes and Persians overcame Babylon to restore and bring his people back to rebuild. And as he prayed 21 days, there was a battle going on in the heavenlies. But he continued to fast and pray. That the real battle wasn't what was going on with his prayer, but what was happening here. And it says that Gabriel was sent to bring a message to him, but the prince of the power of Persia, of the kingdom of Persia, fought against him until what did I say, Gabriel, Michael, anyway, I forget which one was involved. And then the other came and entered in and broke that stronghold and then released him to come and bring about God's plan. He's called the prince of the kingdom of Persia. That wasn't a real man. It was a spirit. And that's what it tells us. There's principalities and rulers of darkness. It's a spiritual army. There's commanders and there's lieutenants and sergeants. And it's those principalities that affect nations and cities and communities and churches and homes and individuals. They're assigned to us.
There's a strategy that the enemy is after us. Don't you think for a moment. And when we pray, it causes things to happen in the heavenlies. That's why it says angels are sent forth on behalf of the heirs of salvation. As we pray, God sends forth His army. But He won't do it until we put Him into action. Because God's teaching us authority. The thief comes not to steal, to kill, to destroy. It says in 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to flesh, but the weapons of our warfare, they're not fleshy, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. We try to do it ourselves. I want you to know there's a real spiritual battle. Second thing, you know, if you don't find that out, you're going to stay defeated your whole life. You're going to be fighting windmills and swinging at shadows. You'll never hit the mark until you find out what you're aiming at. But the battle that you're fighting, it's not with your mother-in-law or your ex-husband or your neighbor or your boss or that guy who fired you or the guy who sued you or that attorney. That's not where the battle is. The battle is in the heavenlies. That's where the real battle is. And the enemy will try to use those things to poison your heart and destroy you. Listen to me. I'm telling truth here. That's where the battle is. God wants us to see, to open our eyes. I want to talk next about our delegated authority. Listen, this is the church's Magna Carta. This is it. This is what He gave us. This is the Constitution that He laid down. And then the 70 returned with joy. He sent them out, remember? And they saying, Lord, even demons are subject to us in Your name. Why? Because they had authority. It blew them away. In the name of Jesus, demons were coming out of people. There was these manifestations. Things were happening. They never seen anything like it. And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Amen. And this is what He said to him. And this is what He says to every one of us. Behold, I give unto you. Your Bible may say power, but the word is exousia. It's authority. I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions over all power of the enemy. Says, nothing by any means shall hurt you, nevertheless. Don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. They're in heaven. There's something even greater. We have eternal life. You hear me? Eternal life. This is going to end one of these days. I had a funeral this weekend. I know where she is, man. She lived her life as a saint and walked in faith. She was filled with joy. I never heard one complaint out of her life. You're going to keep that appointment someday. This is real stuff we're facing. The devil would try to do anything he can to get you sidetracked, to move you away, to bring attack upon you, to discourage you, to get you to be mad at God, mad at the pastor, to split up your family, to rob you of your finances, to make you sick. Just to discourage you, to quit going to church. He'll do anything he can to pull you, and he knows your button, man. Don't think he doesn't. You better know we need God to win this battle as we use our authority. And He's given us authority over everything to tread under it. It's under our feet. When He's talking about serpents and over scorpions and all power of the enemy, He's not talking about snakes and scorpions. We got some in Florida, you know. He's talking about all power of the enemy. Serpents are fallen angels. Demons are disembodied spirits. The overall power of the enemy is the devil himself. He's given us authority to tread. They're under our feet. In Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus gave the great commission to us, He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. And then He said, now you go. Go therefore. Go in it. That's what He was saying. I'm giving you that authority to go now. And then He gives us more detail about it in Mark on that great commission. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Who does not believe will be damned. And these signs will follow those who believe in My name. They'll cast out demons. I'll give you heavenly language. You'll speak with new tongues. I'll protect you. You lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. And He said, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word through company and signs. God's given you that commission. He's given you authority. Why don't you see it? Because you don't stand in the authority you have. You don't believe anything's going to happen. We go to the doctor before we pray. Thank God for doctors, but how about we talk to Dr. Jesus? He's got all kinds of degrees, don't you know that? He's the one who invented the whole thing. Ephesians chapter 1, 17. I want to read it again. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. He wants us to see. That the eyes of our understanding be enlightened. That we might know what is, number one, the hope of our calling, where we're running this race. What the riches of the glory of the inheritance is, what He has for us, the inheritance now and later. And what is exceeding greatness of His power that's given to every one of us who believe according to the working of His mighty power. The same power that worked in Christ when the Father raised Him from the dead. That's the power that God's given to us and seated Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Listen, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And He had put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body with the fullness of Him who filleth all in all. When Jesus rose up over every principality and power, there isn't anything in second place. There is no second place. God is all in all. He is an uncreated being. He is eternal. The beginning and the end. Hallelujah. Satan is number two. Satan isn't even on the chart. You understand? He's a created being. God. All authority and might and power. And everything's under His feet. And when He raised us up, He raised us up with Him. And He's put His fullness in His church. And if Satan's under, hallelujah, His feet, we're a member of the body, is under our feet too. He gave us authority to tread on Him. You have authority. Satan doesn't want you to know it. That's why prayer is so hard. Why do you think it's so hard? Because Satan does everything to fight against you so you won't do it, so he continue to have the victory over you in your life. That's why it's hard, because we're fighting against those principalities and powers. And they lie to us all the time. Oh God, I cry out to You. Oh Lord. Oh, there's the telephone. Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, Lord, help me. Dad. Lord, you know, I know it's so hard, God. I know you couldn't do this for me. I am not worthy of that. Oh, man, You couldn't heal me. My father had the same thing. I you know, it's just in the family. I'm in another family now. God's my Father. There's no sickness in Jesus. He does all these things that discourage us and lie to us when we pray. And Satan tries to tell us, He's so mighty and powerful. Mess with me, I'm going to make it worse for you. He's a liar. I've told this story, I know, a dozen times probably, maybe half dozen, a dozen. But you remember Moses Bay was here. Some of you here when he told the story about a lady that had a vision. And she was in a chair in her house. And in this vision, there was a demon that came into her household. And she saw this thing in this vision. And it came in, and it just began to go in her house and knew where everything was. And just took what was behind that picture and took what was in that drawer and just started putting stuff in the bag. And just started going through her house, just stripping her, robbing her. He came to kill, to steal, to destroy. And she's sitting there, and God says, "You're going to just let him do it?" So you got authority over him. God didn't stop him. Because that's not what he does. He's given us authority. If we don't do it, nothing's going to happen. If you don't stand up, nothing. He's already defeated the devil. How many know that? He destroyed him at Calvary. He defeated the devil at Calvary. So I did it. Here you go. I'm giving you authority now. Praise God. All the power of heaven standing behind you. Here we go. You don't need good luck to do this. You got all the might and strength of heaven. And so this thing's doing it. And all of a sudden, she started to pray. Says, "Man, no, I'm not going to let him do this." She says, "You know, remember the promises." She began to pray. "Hey, you can't do that. You're under my feet. You can't make me put anything back. What are you talking about? In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to put that back. heck? You're not going to rob anything from me. You can't tell me what to do. The demon said, you can't tell me what to do. I can do anything I want. I'm not afraid of you. Yeah, you can use Jesus' name all you want to. I'm going to do whatever I want, and I'm going to take whatever I want. You've got no control over me at all. And you, there's no way. And she continued to pray. I bind you in the name of the Lord. I command you to loose what you robbed, and you take it and get out of here. You can't make me go. I can do anything, come in your life, and take whatever I want anytime I want to. She just kept praying. I don't care, you're a liar, in the name of Jesus, I command you to put back what you've brought from me and what you've stolen in the name of the Lord. Listen to me, in the name of Jesus Christ, I stand in His might and power. You put that back and get out of here in Jesus' name. You know what the demon said? He says, you can't make me put anything back. Does he put it back? You can't make me put anything back at all. I can take anything I want to, anytime I want. And she kept praying, and he kept saying, I don't have to put anything back in this vision. He just kept saying, I'm not leaving this place. I'll take what I want, and just kept putting things back. And right even when he was going out the door, and he says, and you can't make me leave. I can do whatever I want to do. Maybe you've not had such a dramatic vision, but that's what the devil does to us all the time. We start to pray, and then the devil tells us all the reasons why God's not going to do it, and why our prayer isn't going to do anything, and why, oh, this is too big. You don't have that kind of faith. You need help. You better, you know, write a letter to Oral Roberts. Do you know you have the same authority that Oral Roberts has? There's no difference between your authority and his authority. Do you know that? That God's no respecter of persons. There's an equality in the kingdom because of our Lord Jesus. You've got the same authority. God wants you to know it. When He gave you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, man, that was a real deal. Whatever you bind, what you bind on earth is bound. What you loose on earth is loose. What happens? Well, why isn't that my house? Because you're not standing your ground. You're letting the devil come in, rob you of your finances, your health, your sons, your daughters, your joy, everything that's happening, your jobs, whatever. You're not standing in faith. God wants us to stand in faith, not sit in faith. God wants us to stand our ground. I'm taking back what the devil stole in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind those strongholds of darkness in the name of the Lord. I command you to give back what you've stolen from me for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. I stand on your promises, Father. You promised to bless me. I've given. I've sown the seed. I stand on that promise in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Paul. You tried to steal it. You tried to put it back in your seat. I'm not going to let the enemy get away without hallelujah. No. He just was trying to not be interrupting. Thank you. A gentleman and a saint. God bless you. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Say it. Flee from me. Say it again. He'll flee from me. But it says, submit yourselves to God. You can't have a rebellious attitude or unbelief with God and expect something to happen in your life. If you're not believing God, if you're not submitting to the Lord, well, I'm going to live my life. I'm just going to live in sin, do whatever I want. When I'm running trouble, man, I'm just going to bind and loose. The devil's going to laugh at you. You know, you got to have a relationship with God and have confidence. You know, sin robs us of our confidence with God. We start to pray when there's sin in our lives. Man, God won't hear me. Man, I'm so unclean. Ugh. I mean, do you really believe? You can watch pornography Friday night and come to prayer meeting on Saturday night and you're going to walk in victory? Now, the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse us from all of our sins. But we've got to submit to God. I mean, so you know, what are we going to do? Are we going to walk in sin or do you want victory in your life? God wants to bring victory. God wants to give you the desires. He didn't want you to give. He doesn't want you to have this phony baloney stuff in your life. God wants you to have the real deal. He wants you to have victory. He wants to give you the desires of your heart. We learn how to fight for it, not giving in. I'm not going to give in to the devil's substitutions for real joy, for real peace, for real fulfillment, for real satisfaction. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I want to talk about our organic unity. What do you mean by that? You know that when Jesus was raised up, we were raised up with him, and all things were placed under our feet. That we entered into Christ Jesus. When Jesus Christ was exalted, he was raised up, he was exalted as the supreme
Lord and King, the ruler, authority over all things, wielding all authority and power in heaven and on earth. And when Jesus Christ was raised up, when we became a part of Christ, we were organically a part of Jesus and raised up with Him as a member of His body. This is a real thing, this oneness, that I'm a part of Christ's body. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all placed into one body. I want you to know this is something that's real. It's a functional, organic relationship. It's not, the body of Christ is not mystical or philosophical or symbolic. It's not just an illustration. It's not allegorical. It's not institutional. It's real. I'll give you an illustration. You know, the members of a board of directors on a corporation, they have a functional relationship. But it's not organic. My hand to my wrist has an organic relationship. My arm to my body has an organic relationship. My body to my head has an organic relationship. Do you understand? That when you entered into Christ, there's an organic relationship. And you become a member of Christ, who is the head, that is life, His power, His victory, His promises. All heaven stands behind it. The fullness of God Almighty has been placed in His church. It's an organic relationship. He's in me. I'm in Him. There's no end to the potential what can happen. Why don't things happen? Because you don't believe that. The enemy of God is what? Independence. That's what sin is. Me, my way. Middle letter of sin is I. Independent. I can do it. I don't need God. I'm strong. I'm educated. I'm rich. I am woman, whatever. That's not a confession. God's got surprises, but that'll never be one of them for you. See, because each one of us draws our life from the life of the body. The only time a board of directors is in an organic and functional relationship was when they're all Spirit-filled Christians meeting together. That's like our board. It's not only functional, but there's a relationship because they're all members of the body. There's a power, there's a strength. So it says, we are members of His body and of His flesh and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and be joined together as husband and wife. They'll be one flesh. But this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and His church. That's what he's talking about. And it says in Ephesians 2:6, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That sounds foolish to the world. They don't understand that at all. When I got saved, I said, Lord Jesus, come into my life. And by His Spirit, at that very moment, He came into me, but I was placed in His body. And when I was placed into His body, I entered into His death, to His burial, to His resurrection, to His very position in heaven. And when Jesus Christ was raised, you see, I was raised with Him. And He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not something that's going to happen. That happened when you were saved. I'm living on earth, but positionally I'm seated right now in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ, training for reigning by faith. I am seated. The enemy is under my feet. And so God's preparing us through this to walk in oneness, to stand in faith. Oh man, when are we going to get hold of this? We are co-crucified, we are co-raised, we are co-exalted, co-seated with Him. We have co-authority through the Lord Jesus Christ. You, the newest member in the body of Christ, the weakest member in this body, I'm telling you, you are seated in heavenly places, man, and the muscles of God are just waiting to flex on your behalf when you'll stand up in authority. Lastly, I want to talk about our relational supremacy. I mean, I'm talking about how we have an effect, how we have been lifted up with authority and power And that how God has placed us in supremacy over the enemy. And in that relationship, things are going to happen. And the things do happen. See, even with all of its failure and shortcomings and defects, the blood-bought bride of Jesus Christ, the church, is the mightiest force for might and power and civilization on the face of this earth. I don't care how you picture the church. The real, true, living church that's walking by faith is such a mighty force for power that they affect what happens on the face of this earth. When the church stands in authority and functions in faith and in obedience, and we have a greater effect on the face of this earth than you can imagine. And the devil doesn't want you to see it or know it. But the truth of the matter is that every benefit that's come from society has become because of the gospel working through the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every culture, every good thing, you know, peace, harmony, prosperity, wherever there's education, wherever God's blessing is on the political system, the manufacturing, and the education system, it's because of the gospel. You look at a nation that doesn't walk in the gospel, man, I'll show you a nation that's going to be having financial problems and health problems. There's going to be poverty. There's going to be internal war and conflicts. That there's not going to be any prosperity and blessing. Look at Haiti. There's been a lot of people that preach there, but they've never broken through the darkness, the bondage, the voodoo, the witchcraft. There's a darkness. Why? There's a spirit over it. Health? No. Man? Poorest nation in the Western Hemisphere. Why? Because they're not exercising, the church is not exercising its authority. You look at this nation. Where do you think the blessings came from on this nation? Why do you think that happened? You look at the early church, and I'll tell you, it's not like the church today. The church stood in their authority, man. They lived it. They proclaimed the gospel. They were functioning. They were that light. They affected their communities, their schools. They affected government. So what happens when the church stops using its authority? When they pull back, man, the devil is going to try to make a living hell on earth. And man, there's going to be all kinds of internal strife and breaches, and that there's going to be corruption and disintegration in society. Come on, wake up. You look at third world nations where there's all kinds of problems and where there's poverty. Why do you think that is? And I'll show you nations that aren't really walking in the gospel, and there hasn't been a foundation of the gospel in that land. Every good thing that comes to man has come from the Christian Judeo-ethic. Don't you know that? From the womb of the gospel in the very beginning, wherever the gospel went, there was always a change in society, in nations, in families. Is it true in yours? It's true in individuals. It's true in nations. This is an enemy that hates us. He tries to bring principalities, to bring down nations and communities and churches and families and individuals. And where the church stands up. See, we're the only force that can test Satan's total rule of human affairs. We're the greatest force on the face of this earth. When the church really intercedes in prayer, when things really happen, the enemy retreats. God's given you a scepter. He's begging you to use it to rule. We don't have time. You know, it was not idle talk when Jesus said, "You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world." Those aren't just some songs. You know, they've been sung. It's some kid stuff. You're the salt of the earth, you're the light of the world. You're the purifying, you're the preserving influence in society. So we don't understand salt today because we have refrigeration. But it was salt that was used to purify things. Purify food, to preserve food. That's why, you know, they dried out meat, salted meats. That's the way you preserve meat. We understand that. The power of God, the gospel, prayer, it's that salt. What's salt do? It preserves, it purifies, but salt has a flavor. When people
taste our lives. Man. And what's salt do? Makes you thirsty. Man, they get thirsty for what we have, you know, as we put some of that gospel salt in their mouth. Man, I want more. What do you have? You got something I don't have. We are the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Man, when things happen, we are the source of truth and of life and of joy and fulfillment. When we're in union with our triumphant God. But when the church does nothing, the enemy rules and darkness floods over it. Wake up. Church doesn't know what it is to intercede anymore. Let me tell you. Let me tell you what happens in this church, why it happens. Because it happens here. On Saturday night, Sunday morning before the early service when we pray, on Sunday night before church, when we fast on Wednesdays and come here and meet from 12 to 1 o'clock as a church, when we come and meet here together on Wednesday night before service, whatever happens in our prayer meetings is what happens in here. I've seen it over and over again. If there's liberty and a freedom and a zeal, man, you can just feel something break in the heavenlies. And we come in here, we have a glory time. But when there's a battle in there and we never broke through, man, we're going to have a struggle in here. Because that's where the battle is. It's not, you know, it's not because I'm such a dynamic, wonderful preacher. Stand on a pew to get your attention. That's not what does it. It's the power of God that brings life to the Word. Just a simple message that penetrates our heart. When the Spirit of God is mixed with it, faith comes into our hearts and things break. I want to challenge you. We need to take a stand. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall pray. You know, we got a lot of critters in Florida. One of them is a hognose snake. How many know what a hognose snake is? Yeah. And, you know, it sounds just like... they're not big and fat with a curly tail, you know, but they have a snout just sticks out like a hog. And they're ugly. And they have they're not a little skinny snake like a black racer. They get a big, fat, ugly body and fat, ugly head with nose things sticking up. And when you run into one, you know what they do? They rise up, flatten out their necks like a cobra. And they go... and you go, whoa, man. And then they take their tail. They don't have rattles, but they take their tail and beat it on the ground. And they go... whoa, it's a cobra rattlesnake. Run for your life. It's the meanest snake on the face of the earth. I mean, man, it rises up and... and it's all a bluff. They're harmless. Looks like a cobra. Sounds like a rattlesnake. But in truth, if you just get a stick, a twig, it doesn't have to be, just swat at it. You don't have to come close, just close. It goes, bleh. It just rolls over on its belly. Plays possum. Till you walk away. And then when you go and tell your friends of this heroic deed, I killed a cobra rattlesnake. Come and see it. And where'd it go? Where'd it go? It was right here a minute ago. Where did it go? You walk away and it gets out of there. That's what the devil does with us. Don't you know that? He puffs himself up. He tells you he's going to bite you, man. He's going to bite your leg off if you try to tread over him. He's going to mess with you. When you pray, he's going to make life so miserable for you. He beats his tail in the ground. He tells you how nothing's going to change. How when your prayers don't do anything at all, he's going to continue to keep you sick. You're going to continue to be broke. Your kids are going to get worse. You might as well give up. Quit going to church. Don't believe that stuff. How the devil, you know, nothing's going to change in your life. It's not even true. There isn't even a real devil. Don't even believe that stuff. He's a liar. And he's defeated. And God's given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy. Everybody stand up. You're not going to beat him sitting down. Come on, everybody. We stand in faith. I'm challenging you. I don't believe you just, you know, willfully not pray, that it's a rebellious thing. maybe unbelief, you just don't believe or understand what it's going to do. Maybe it's just ignorance. You just never understood it. But God's not going to do anything until you start praying. You might have some kind of temporary victory. Seem like you're on a ride to prosperity. The way you're going to know God's purpose and victory and peace and joy and fullness, the way you're going to see things happen in your life and your loved ones, your family, your neighborhood, and the church and the community, we're going to stand our ground and enter into the battle. And you just get prepared for it. Because the devil doesn't like it. Because, man, you're stepping on his tail. He's squirming all over and he's just yelling all this stuff at us. I'm not putting anything back. You can't make me go. You're a defeated foe, and I'm not getting off in the name of Jesus. I'm standing. I'm going to stand until I see my daughter serving you. I'm going to stand until I see my son serving you. I'm going to stand until I see my father saved. I'm going to stand until I see healing. I'm going to stand until I know your joy. I'm going to stand until I know your will. I'm going to stand, oh God, until I see your prosperity. We're going to stand. So I want to challenge you. We got 5 prayer meetings a week. Surely you can find time to come to one of those prayer meetings. This can affect every area of your life. When you find out what it is, you'll never go back. You'll never change. You'll quit being independent. I pray, God, you do something new in our hearts, that we're going to see you and know who we are. Every person in this room is a soldier, a warrior. And you've equipped us. You've given us everything you need. And every person in this room has been raised up and seated in heavenly places. Every person in this room, Lord, you've placed the enemy under your feet. Every person in this room has authority to bind on this earth and loose in heaven. And to, Lord, you've given us that authority and power in your name. God, you've called us to be overcomers. You've called us to be always triumphant, Lord, in you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that this word today would be mixed with faith. It's going to change our life. We're not going to be the same. We're going to start to pray in the morning. We're going to seek you. We're going to call on you for your help. Lord, you say we can do nothing without you. And you won't do anything until we call on you. If my people, which are called by my name, pray, humble themselves, then things will happen. In Jesus' name, God, in Jesus' name. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one moving around for a moment. If you're here and you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, I'm telling you, he's real. I pray, Lord, if there's any person in this room that's never met you, they're going to know you today. I pray they're going to know more than Lord than just more than going to church. They can meet you and experience you, and you're going to lift them up above, Lord, their circumstances, not under it, above it. As we put our trust in you, and that you've promised us eternal life. But, oh, Lord, you've promised us that you'll live in us. That we'll know you and your love and your peace and joy and acceptance and a new beginning in our life. I'm telling you, that's the promise. It's true. He says, taste and see the Lord is good. Once you experience him, man. Whew, oh, God, I didn't know. This is more than church stuff. Meeting you personally, living in my life. That you love me. You've always loved me. That I'm clean. I'm forgiven. That I have absolute assurance. I'm going to live with you forever, Lord. I'm going to cast every care and every weight on you. Take care of this worry, the problems, Lord. They're yours, not mine. You bought me with a price. All my problems are yours too. If that's your heart today, I just want you to lift your hand and say, Pastor John, will you pray for me? I never experienced that. And when I see your hand, you can put it down. But you don't get this by working forward or being good. There isn't anybody that's good. Thank you. I see your hand. It's a gift of God, not a good work, so nobody can boast. I can't brag about anything. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a good work, so nobody can boast about it. I see your hand. I see your hand. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So either we're going to come to him and receive his gift, or you're going to do it yourself in independence. And I promise you, anyone that doesn't receive him is going to be separated from him forever. There's only one way. That's through Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the door. Nobody comes in except by him.
That's why there's no other name given to men under heaven whereby they may be saved but the name of Jesus. If we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth on the Lord Jesus, we'll be saved. And God, we ask you to forgive us our sins. We know we've sinned. We've all sinned. There's not one person in this room, Lord. I'm guilty. I ask you to forgive me. And the Lord, your blood washes away every sin. And Lord, you promised me if I would put my trust in you, you'd send your spirit in my heart. I ask you now, come into my heart. I believe in you. I receive your gift. Thank you, Father. I turn my life. You're the boss now. You're the Lord. I'm going to do it your way. God, you've got the plan for my life. Thank you for your victory.